You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
And I want to start this morning by asking a question that might seem random, but we'll get to why in a second. But how many of you know what car, what vehicle I drive? That's too many. But it's okay, because in 2 years, you'll know what vehicle Landon drives, and all of you can keep tabs on him for me. All right, but if you don't, I drive a Ford Flex that is red with a white top. There's one like it in Fremont, but it has a roof rack. Mine also does not have the silver on the back of it. There's a few like that as well. But I remember the first time that I ever saw a Ford Flex, and we were looking for a new vehicle, and we'd stopped at a dealership, and Stacy pointed it out to me and said, "What about that?" And instantly I said, "That is the ugliest thing that I've ever seen. Absolutely not. Not only is it the ugliest thing I've ever seen, I've never seen one before. So everyone else must agree with me, because no one is buying these things. They're not out there." But guess what happened after I saw it the first time? I started seeing them over and over and over again. And what I realized then, and what I'm sure many of you have realized in that same circumstance when you buy a new vehicle that you've never seen and now it's everywhere, is that what you look for is what you see. And as this week, as we're starting this new gratitude challenge, the question that I want you to have in the back of your mind is what are you looking for? Because it's really easy in society today, it's really easy in our lives to only look at what we don't have. And when you look at what you don't have, you see what you don't have everywhere. And we miss what we do have, right? We miss the gifts that God has placed in front of us each and every day when we only focus on what we lack. Or when we only look at the negative, that's all we see, and we can't see the beauty that's around us. But instead, what if we as individuals, or what if we as a congregation, or if we as a community spent our time looking for the gifts that God has already given us? And that's what Martin Luther tried to help us see as he writes these explanations, as he helps us understand these important pieces of our faith, one being the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. And as he explains the first article of the Creed, which is about God the Father, who's the Creator, Luther says that this means that I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he's given me my body and soul, my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and he still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. And he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, meaning I deserve nothing that God gives me, yet he still gives me these gifts. And so for all this, it is my duty to thank and praise him, to serve and obey him. Right? This is most certainly true. It's my duty to be grateful for the gifts that he has given me. And if you looked at those gifts, right, if we went back to all these things, clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, wife, children, land, animals, and all that I have, right? All of these, at first glance, seem pretty ordinary. They seem like things that, for the most part, we all have. And so they're things that are easy to take for granted because they're so ordinary until we don't have them. Like we've seen, I met with a bunch of nonprofits and other pastors on Friday. At the United Way, to just talk about the needs in the community as there's, right, without SNAP benefits coming through. And the food bank, Lifehouse, normally they get donations of food and they get donations of money. And with that money, normally they spend about $12,000 a month to fill in for all of the needs on top of the food and the things that gets donated to them. They're currently spending, so normally $12,000 a month, they're currently spending $15,000 a week to fill the needs in this community, right? And so what might seem normal, what might seem like not a big deal, all of a sudden is something that is a big deal, right? And so what does that look like to be grateful for the things that we have rather than what we don't have? And I want to focus on one thing specifically today. And it's one that, for me, I realized the need for it in my family, but we hear from Genesis 2 where God is creating. Genesis 1, we get the big picture of creation, and Genesis 2 really zeroes in on the creation of man. And as God is creating Adam, he formed that man from dust, from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that man became a living creature. It wasn't until the breath of life came into Adam that he became a living creature. We see a similar story in Ezekiel, where God is coming to Ezekiel, the prophet, and he's saying, hey, I want to show you this vision. And so he takes Ezekiel to this valley, and this valley is filled with all of these bones, and he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. And so Ezekiel did. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was this sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, so they looked like people. But there's a problem. There's no breath in them. And so God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And so then God explains to Ezekiel what he just witnessed and why he just witnessed it. And so God said to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones, they're not just bones, but they are the house of Israel. They are my people who are in exile. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. And so therefore, Ezekiel, prophesy to these people and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it, declares the Lord. So there are a number of words that were underlined as I was reading that text. Breath was underlined a lot, but there's another word underlined in this verse. Spirit. That's the same Hebrew word. Breath and spirit are the same word in Hebrew, and that word is ruach. Can you say that? But you got to get the in there, right? Ruach. I'm not hearing enough spit. Ruach. There you go, right? That means breath and it means spirit. What we're seeing in the Old Testament, there is no life without breath in our lungs. And there's no life without God's spirit in our lives. And it's not just in Old Testament that's the case. But again, look in this. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. He says it almost the exact same way. And I'll put my spirit within you, and you will live. Right? It is that breath. It is that spirit that gives us life, that ruach that breathes into us life. But again, that wasn't just an Old Testament. Jesus, the day that he rose from the grave, he goes in to meet with the disciples who are hidden in a room. They're locked in that room because they're afraid of the Jews around them because their king, their leader, had died, and they had not yet seen Jesus alive. And so he comes into that room and he says, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. And Jesus again said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." A little bit later, Jesus in Acts 2, as after he has ascended into heaven, he promises that he will send his Spirit. And we read in Acts 2 that there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. That wind that brought the Spirit to the disciples. And all of those, breath, spirit, and wind, are the Greek word pneuma. Can you say pneuma? Pneuma. Right, like think pneumatic tools, right? The tools that are that air pressure is what gives them their force. That's what that word comes from. It's the same as ruach. It means breath, wind, and spirit. It's what gives you life, right? The spirit that gave you life through the waters of baptism. The spirit that breathes life into you as you read the word of God or as you hear that word preached. That same pneuma is speaking in your life today and will continue to speak until that last day when he raises all of those bones up and brings them all back together to give them that final spirit, that final life eternal with Jesus. But today, again, I want to focus on that breath, because that breath is something that's so easily forgotten about. How many of you consciously thought about breathing while you slept last night? Right? You don't, right? You go to sleep, and your body just breathes. Now, for some of us, we need a little extra help, right? And maybe you got a little mask that helps remind your body to breathe, but that's what your body is intended to do, is to just breathe even when you're not thinking about it. And so I have not thought much about breath and breathing until about 5 years ago, when my dad started to need oxygen just here and there, so that he could have breath in his lungs. And then about 3 years ago, it wasn't oxygen just here and there, but it was constant oxygen because his lungs had been burned through steroids and they weren't getting any better. And they wouldn't get any better. But then 2 years ago, an incredible gift came to my dad on December 14th when he received a double lung transplant. And while that took a lot of time to work through in that process, now he breathes, right? And so for me, there was life circumstances that reminded me of this, but breath isn't something to just take for granted. And I was reminded that it is a daily, a moment-by-moment miracle that God does for each and every one of us. And so my hope, though, is today that, and throughout this series, that it's not a life circumstance that causes us to look at the ordinary things and see God's gift within them, but that we start looking for them. Because what you look for is what you see. And today we're starting this gratitude challenge, and throughout the rest of the month of November, and I hope it doesn't even stop in November, but notice that November still includes the day after Thanksgiving. Right, and so as we think of the gratitude that we have, remember that the day after Thanksgiving when everyone else wants you to think of all the things that you don't have and that you need. All right, but that we would be looking for those things. That we'd be celebrating the huge things that God does in us, like the ruach, the pneuma, the spirit that brings us new life in Jesus, but also the little things. Whether it's the breath in our lungs or whether it's something else that you see, this is God's gift to you. And so I want us to celebrate those ordinary things and the big things. And so maybe that looks different for each of us, where maybe you start a gratitude journal, and just every day you're writing down different things that you're thankful for. Or maybe the first thing that you do every morning before you get out of bed, before you pull out your phone and check social media or check how many emails you have to deal with at work, you spend a moment to just thank God for the breath in your lungs and the gifts that He has given you. Or maybe at the very end of the day, as you lay down for the night, you take a moment and look back on the day and thank God for the gifts that He's given you throughout this day. And so gratitude is something that starts within, but it doesn't stay here. It doesn't stay in a personal thing, but we celebrate. We share with others, and so our gratitude doesn't stay individual, but it becomes communal as well. And so like I said earlier, all of you should have gotten a leaf when you came in. If you didn't get one, I encourage you right now, just go get one, or you can wait if you really want to, but you should have gotten a leaf. All I want you to do is write one thing that you're thankful for on it. Write it big, write it dark, use a pen if you have one, use the pencils in front of you. But then after worship today, I want you to place it in the offering vessel that'll be out in the fellowship hall as a reminder that that gift that I'm thankful for is a gift from God to me. And I want to give thanks to Him as I place it back in that offering vessel. And then next week we'll get to see what it looks like when God's people are grateful for His gifts. And so you'll get to see what that looks like next week. But don't just stop today, right? Don't just be thankful for one thing today, but each and every day find things that you are thankful for that God has given you, and then next week when you come, grab another leaf. Celebrate what God has done. Share it with others. Keep adding to that celebration. Because again, what you look for is what you see, and the more you practice looking for God's gifts in your life, the more you see them, and the more you get to celebrate His goodness rather than seeing what you lack, rather than seeing what you don't have. Because when we look through the eyes of the Spirit, the Ruach, the Pneuma that has breathed new life in you, when you look through those eyes, you will see everything that you have is a gift from God who loves you and cares for you and still takes care of you. Amen? Amen.